take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Zechariah, chapter 1. That means go to the book of Matthew and go back about a dozen pages and you'll be there. Zechariah, chapter 1. It's right before the book of Malachi, which is right before the book of Matthew, so if that helps you at all. It's one of those books that you don't even know is in there unless you read your Bible on a regular basis. I didn't say the book of Hezekiah. All right. Yeah, good thing. It's in the Catholic Bible. Did you like that one, Wally? Zechariah chapter 1. We're going to read one verse together, and let's read it in unison together. Zechariah chapter 1. Let's read verse number 13 together. Ready? Verse number 13. Ready? Here we go. And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and with comfortable words. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd use me tonight. Help me to help your people. Lord, what good people. What sincere people. Lord, I believe each and every person here tonight is serious about you or they wouldn't be here tonight. But Lord, take us tonight and Lord, all of us need some work done on us. None of us are perfect. I pray that we would have a humble enough spirit to have you work in our hearts and our lives. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to kind of sit down with you. I'm not going to actually sit, but take you to how I think for a little while. Sometimes in my office, sometimes elsewhere where I would read the Bible and just think out loud with you for a moment and think with you. Have you ever just sat and wondered what God's voice sounds like? Do you ever just wonder how deep it is? How loud it might be? What it might sound like? Do you ever wonder what Jesus sounded like while he was here on earth? Can you hear him laugh? Yeah, there are some people, you know them by their laugh. You know, there are just certain people that you hear them laugh and it makes you laugh. I wonder if Jesus was that way. I think of the song, he speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing. I don't picture God as the Wizard of Oz. All right. With the smoke and the giant booming voice and God is able to be everywhere at once. Therefore, he doesn't need to be loud. Think about that. God is everywhere all at one time. Therefore, he need not yell. The Bible is God's words. This isn't just the word of God. These are the words of God. God has given to, God says, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That means there has to be an every word Bible somewhere. God's a liar and man's going to die. So God gave us an every word Bible, the King James Bible. He spoke it. They are still God's words today. Do you realize that God spoke all that is in existence in creation today? He spoke it with the words of his mouth. Yes, sir. Can you imagine? Hang on here. I wrote something wrong in my notes. It's a good thing I didn't read that one. I put man spoke all into existence at creation. But God spoke it all. Can you imagine what God must have been saying as he spoke into creation? The Rocky Mountains. The waterfalls. Niagara Falls. You think about the Grand Canyon. Think about the Great Plains of out west. Think about the Shenandoah Valley here and the beauty of it. Think about some of the most amazing things you've ever seen. God spoke it into existence. Every bit of it. And God taught man how to communicate. Listen to this next statement here. We did not develop it through grunts and caveman-like paintings.
That's right.
That's evolution. You know, prior to 1870, 1880, nobody believed in that. That didn't come about till evolution.
Right.
It's only been by the last 120, 130 years people think like that. There was no such thing as cavemen talked about till the 1900s. Everybody doing okay? God's words. Why does man think he can rewrite them and make them more understandable? Don't you think a God that could speak everything into existence is able to communicate with man to tell him what he wanted? Don't you think the God that gave us the ability to communicate said everything the way he wanted it said, and he doesn't need man to mess it up?
That's right.
I don't mean this the wrong way, but I can't improve what God said.
No,
you can't improve what God said.
Right. Not at all.
Man really thinks that he's smart enough to tell other men better than what God said than how God said it. How arrogant. How sinful. Here in Zechariah 1, God had an angel deliver a message personally to Zechariah. God not only told the angel what to say, but God told him how to say it. I want you to notice Zechariah 1:13 again. And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and with comfortable words. He not only told him what kind of words, but how to say what he was saying. You see, a good communicator doesn't just say the right words. Did you know communication is more than you just running your mouth? Sorry, I don't know how else to say that. I tried real hard to make that work out real nice, and it just didn't work. Just because you say something doesn't mean you've communicated well. Communication has to have a transmitter, but it also has to be received by the receiver. So not only does it need to be said appropriately, it needs to be able to be received appropriately. That's called being a good communicator. Good communication knows how to say everything, but it also knows how to say it in such a way that people will listen and understand what is being said. Just because you understand it doesn't mean everybody else understands it. You get into something mechanical, and that guy right over there, if it moves, is a machine, he understands it. That guy's the same way. Now me? Mm-mm. Now, I understand the basic concept of it, but past that, mm-mm. Don't let me try to diagnose it for you. You'll have a mess. But just because they understand it doesn't mean I understand it. So they got to break it down. That's why they have books called, you know, Mechanics for Dummies. Cooking for Dummies. Whatever for Dummies. You say, what is that? That is because you don't generally do that kind of work, and they've broken it down into baby steps for you to be able to follow whether you understand it or not. Supposedly. Just don't follow the stupid instructions on how to put something together. Now, just because we say something doesn't mean we have communicated something well. I want tonight to look at how God spoke to Zechariah, not only what he said, but how he said it. And I really mean this. If we spoke more like God spoke, maybe we would have less problems in our life than we have. Maybe we would have less conflict in our life than we have. Maybe we would be better communicators. So, here we go. You ready? Not going to be a long sermon, but it's not going to be mean, but hang on, it could get very personal. Number one, God talked with good words. I remember my wife when my children were growing up. I would hear her often say, use your good words. Use good words. Everybody knows mean words. That doesn't mean it's the right thing to say. Our society uses vulgar, crude, nasty, perverted, mean words all the time. Listen to the average news broadcast. It used to be you never cursed in public, especially on television. Oh, what's the Gone with Wind?
Yeah.
That was back in the 1950s, is that right? Sounds right. Everybody was upset with Gone with the Wind because at the very end, Rhett Butler said, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a Aswan Hoover." One of those things that holds water back. They were appalled. That was the first time Hollywood allowed a curse word in a film. Now, you hear that on the nightly news. I'm not kidding. Now you'd say, oh, that's a good movie. It's only got one cuss word in it. They had people... Everybody doing okay? I'm about ready to probably pop somebody's bubble. John Rice, J. Frank Norris, Jack Hyles back in the 1940s were preaching against television because of how wicked it was, and they were preaching against I Love Lucy and You Think It's the Greatest Thing Since Bubblegum. The word good here is a Hebrew word. It means cheerful, beautiful, favorable, joyful, glad, kindly, loving, merry, sweet, merry as in M-E-R-R-Y, not M-A-R-Y, sweet, pleasant, precious, wealthy. This critical negative, always see something bad or something wrong, is not good words. I'm not one of these power positive thinking kind of people in any sense of the word. Trust me. But if you're the kind of person that as soon as you hear something, see something, or think something, you're always finding the wrong, thinking what could be wrong, and you're six steps ahead of before you've ever listened to the whole thing, telling what could go wrong with it, those aren't good words. It's amazing to me, everybody sees the wrong, but they never see all the right.
Come on.
Critical and negative always sees the bad and wrong today, not the good. That's not godly. Those aren't good words.
We men can be as negative as any woman can be negative. Sometimes more. We're wired to want to fix everything. Trouble is, most of us tinker with everything so much we break it. Most of us try to fix things that aren't broke.
Everybody doing okay? That was an oh me, all right? I'm not, but we speak way too negative and way too critical these days. We had a good day today. I'm sure we could pick this thing apart and find something negative that took place today. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. I watched a young man get saved today.
Yes.
After church, I was walking down the steps, and I had a little four-year-old boy just about tackle me. Logan. And his daddy said, "Go ahead, Logan. Tell him what you did." He said, "Preacher, I got saved."
Amen. Told me that too. Amen.
I said, "Well, how'd you get saved?" Because he'd been back and forth with this thing a little bit, and he just hadn't been quite ready. He said, "Trusted Jesus, take me to heaven." I said, "That's the right answer, man. Give me five." Man, big old smile on his face. He went out and told everybody.
He was talking to the door. He was talking to the elevator. He was talking to anybody. Stop and listen to him. He got saved.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. Brother Mike,
he didn't set a beer can down on the side of the table at 27 years old and addicted to alcohol and drugs, but bless God, he got saved.
Yes, sir, that's the best way.
Man, that's good.
I'll have critics that'll listen to this online, and I'll get an email probably that says, "Well, how do you know he was old enough to understand it?" And my response will be, "Who made you God?"
Amen. Preach it.
Probably the same reason I got saved at that age.
Yes.
And it's still working today, 45 plus years later.
Yep.
You see, We think we're intelligent because we see a potential flaw or a potential problem. Can I tell you something? You're not intelligent because you can see things that are wrong. Because sometimes what you think is wrong isn't wrong. We want to be God and live in our own little bubble. You live in a pretty small world. Right. Everybody doing all right? Look how many good words God uses in the Bible versus how many negative words. And most of the negative words are only because people wouldn't listen to the good words.
Right.
Had man obeyed God, there would be no need for man to have to face hell. That was man's fault.
Yes.
I know you want to fix God. Well, why did he make bad available then? Because God didn't make robots. God didn't force anybody to do anything.
Right.
Can I tell you something? God's attitude is never bad.
You know, if God had to destroy somebody, he never had a bad attitude about it. And he never got real excited about it either. If you enjoy watching your enemy hurt, something's wrong.
Yes.
If your first reaction is, ha ha ha, they deserve that, you better check your heart. You know, Brother Stoltz, I have people that hate my guts. I got word this week of someone that doesn't like my internal organs very much at all that went through a little bump. You know what my first thought was? And I'm not a super Christian. I said, God, please help them. They're hurting. I didn't say, ha, serves them right. They don't like me. Good night. There's times I don't like me.
God's attitude's never mean and nasty. He speaks good words. Cheerful, beautiful, favorable, joyful, glad, kindly, loving, merry, sweet, pleasant, precious, wealthy. Can I tell you how to have a great marriage? Speak good words. Knock off all the negative stuff and speak good words to each other. Everybody doing all right? Let's say, how do you have good kids? Speak good words. Now, none of them, yeah, beat them. I love you. Wham!
I did it with the right attitude. Wait a minute. By the way, some of you young people would understand your parents better if you spoke good words to them versus your nasty attitude.
Good preaching.
Pharisee. Did you know it's not scriptural and it's not right for brothers and sisters to fight all the time? And brothers and sisters? Speak good words to one another, not argue all the time. Okay, that went to meddling real fast.
Yeah.
That's true whether you live at home under your mom and dad or whether you're adults and your brothers and sisters. Ah. Yeah, buddy. I didn't say you have to agree with somebody, but you don't have to be mean and nasty about it.
That's right.
You know, I don't agree with everybody, but I can get along with most people. I really can. That doesn't mean I'm going to participate in everything they do, but I can get along with most people. Okay. Everybody, oh me, here we come. You ready? Let's speak good words at work. That means speak good words to the boss. That means speak words to fellow employees. That means speak good to the customers. Yeah. You see, we live in such a kill or be killed world. We think that we got to be the meaner and nastier to step on everybody so we can be king of the company. Again, I'm not the greatest example of this, but follow me around to where I do business and find out how people react around me. If I tell you, hey, go here and tell them I sent you, you'll find out what kind of business relationship I have with people. Go to the store. Follow me to the store sometime and talk to the little gal at the cash register. I was at a store this week. I was whistling, and this lady, there was, this lady had, it looked like three carts full of food in one cart. I had three things in my hand. I got in line behind her. I didn't ask to go ahead of her. My wife was out of town, and I was, I don't know where, I didn't even know what time of day it was, didn't matter, I was whistling. I was being like I normally am, and the lady turned around, she said, "Oh, sir, you only have that?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Well, why don't you go ahead of me?" I said, "Are you sure?" She said, "Sir, do you know how long you're going to be here for me?" I said, "Well, I've been married for almost 29 years. I'm used to waiting on my wife." And she laughed. She said, "I'm not your wife. Go ahead and go ahead of me." I said, "You're probably glad of that." We had a very quick, casual conversation. I reached in my pocket and handed her a gospel tract. She said, "I knew you were a preacher." I said, "How'd you know that?" She said, "Just by the way you're acting." She said, "I knew you weren't a lawyer because you were too nice." I did not ask what her association with lawyers were at that point. Can I tell you something? Just be kind. Just be nice to people. You know, at work, let's speak good words at church.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say it because we don't have a problem with it, but don't gossip at church or with people at church. We're not going to have cliques. Well, we're going to associate with these people, but not these people, because you don't know what they did. This altar is big enough for you. Put your tongue out here and just roll it out. That's a bunch of junk.
You're right.
The ground is level at the cross. You're not going to look up or down at anybody. You're going to look eyeball to eyeball with everybody, because we're all sinners. You know, good words are not just what words we use, but how we use what words we do use. You know, you can say good things in a bad way with a bad attitude. Cheerful is part of good words. It doesn't mean, "Well, I did what you said." Okay, you obeyed. But your attitude showed disobedience.
Right.
How about we obey whether we want to or not with a smile on our face? How about we do it lovingly, as the word good means?
Yes.
Pleasant, precious, wealthy, favorable. Can I tell you something? Fellas, you're not always going to agree with your wife, but she doesn't agree with you either. That doesn't mean you have to tell each other every time you disagree with somebody. Learn to do things in a favorable way. In a cheerful way. Man, I'm having fun right now. Number two, I better hurry up here. God said in comfortable words. Comfortable words. Make a statement here. Few people know how to speak with comfortable words. Book of Job says, Job looked at his three friends and said, "Miserable comforters are y'all." You know that most people do not know how to speak words of comfort? The word comfortable means console. I love this definition. It means to breathe life into someone. It means to comfort or to ease. It literally has the connotation of CPR, bringing somebody back to life, bringing comfort back to them. It's not sitting there holding their hand, patting them on the hand, saying, "Oh, it's okay, baby, it's okay." That's not real comforting. The word comfort means to put life back into someone. God gives us the truth. But God's not rude with how he gives it to us.
Right.
God says, every man's a sinner. And if you die in your sin, you're going to go to hell. But Jesus paid the price for you.
Amen. Right.
He said, you got to know what's coming, but let me tell you what I did about it. You see, he speaks good words to us. He brings words of hope and comfort to us. God wants our words to bring comfort, strength, and ease into people's lives. Did you know it's my job to comfort people at times? We had people here. I knew what I was preaching today. We had somebody here that's from the Catholic Church. Do you know that person was laughing, smiling with me? Shook my hand after church and said, "Boy, haven't heard anybody tell the truth quite that way before. You nailed it." Thought, whew. I didn't change what I said, but I didn't have a bad attitude while I said it. I wasn't even really critical. I just showed them what the truth was, let the truth speak for itself. You know, we can't live totally without conflict. But I'm making a statement here. We can live without constant conflict because of our personality. If you're the person that has conflict around you constantly, can I tell you what the common denominator is?
You.
Well, I had a bad day at work. Then I had a bad day at home. I had a bad day with the wife. Had a bad day with the kids. Had a bad night at church. And maybe you ought to look in the mirror.
That's where I start.
Yeah, buddy. Well, it's all my wife. It's all my kids. It's all... Isn't it amazing how we're quick to blame everybody else and we fail to look in the mirror? I learned this from a very great man. My position on truth will not change. I don't care who it offends, that the truth is the truth. But if my disposition offends them, I'll apologize. If how I say it was with a bad attitude, I'll fix that. I'm not going to change on the fact that the King James Bible is the Word of God. Like it or lump it, there it is.
That's right,
man. But if my disposition offends somebody about it, I'll fix that, but I'm not changing the position on it. Usually, those that get offended, they'll listen to why, and they'll say, "Well, I understand that." I'm not changing the fact that God says we're supposed to go house to house, knock on doors, tell people how to get saved. I'm not changing it because God wrote it. I'm not changing the fact that we're saved by grace through faith, not by works. I'm not changing it. I don't care if it hair lips the Pope. I don't care if it hair lips Mother Teresa or any other person. Now, may I say this? I'm not going to be unkind with my attitude, but I'll make sure that the truth is known. Can I tell you something?
Maybe we could be truthful in our marriages. Maybe we could be truthful in our parent-child and child-parent relationships without such bad attitudes, and we wouldn't have so much conflict in our house. You know, fellas, sometimes it's not what you're saying, but how you're saying it. Slow down and listen to yourself. Matter of fact, before you say it, why don't you sit down and think about it? Ladies, before we pop off and just say what we're thinking, maybe we ought to think before we say it about how we're going to say it. You better be glad my name's not Lester Roloff. I plan what I'm going to say. Brother Roloff just opened the Bible and start. He might have two words written down, and he may get to those two words, he may not. I can't do that. I'll say something I should not say. I plan what I'm going to say. Mrs. Barnes knows this is true. I had a pretty tough meeting with some of the business end of our church one day. And I sat down, and I wrote an outline for the meeting that we were having. And I went point by point in my outline to make sure that I kept me in check. You say, why? Because I know what I wanted to say in my flesh, and I should not say that. I was going to call a couple of you men to write down some of the cuss words you use, and I was going to sign them. Amen? She's had better practice with you, that's why. Now, wait a minute. I for a meeting, a business meeting, that wasn't going to go very well, I planned out every point that was going to be said. And I knew at what stage things were going to get tense, and I put things in there to cheer me up so I could take the pressure out of the room.
When the meeting was over, I handed those notes to my secretary to keep on file, and it's amazing how everything worked just like it was in my notes. Say why? Because I planned it so that I wouldn't let my attitude get out of check. The same's true if you got to talk to somebody about something sensitive. Plan it. Don't just sit there and let the heat of the emotion get you. That's when there's conflict. I'm going to make another statement. Comfortable words means this. Life is not about me or what I want. Folks, there are over 7 billion people on the face of the earth right now. You are one of 7 billion. The earth doesn't revolve around you. I know that's hard to believe. Did you know, Brother Stoltz, that if you stepped off the earth right now, very few people would know? Life goes on. Now, your life to you is the biggest life there is. But may I say this, there is more to life than just your life. Now, everybody listen to this very carefully. You are not the only one in life. And your world does not revolve around you. And I'm going to go ahead and just say this, not even in your own home, unless you live by yourself. There's somebody other than you. Start thinking about somebody other than you in your home. Find out how much conflict resolution there is. Matter of fact, if you're saved, the Bible says your life is not your own. It is.
That's right.
What? Know you not that your body is the Lord's and your life?
Yep.
Our words should be comforting words or comfortable words to all with whom we come in contact with in our life. You know who? Do you know who her greatest comforter should be? Me. I'm her husband. She shouldn't have to worry about coming to me with anything. Anything. Now, she may have enough wisdom to say, we have something touchy to talk about. When's a good time? And not just blurt it out in all the emotion. Because maybe it's not been a good day. Maybe it's been a tough day. We need to learn when, but she ought not ever be afraid to ask me anything. Everybody doing okay? Boy, that's good stuff. Our children, they shouldn't be afraid of us. Now, if they've done wrong, they're going to be afraid. Don't get me wrong. But they ought not live in fear that, uh-oh, Dad's home.
Time to quit living life. Everything's about him now. Uh-oh. Mom's had a bad day. Everybody stop. Life's got to stop. No. Life is more than just you. And let me say this. Some of us live in a pretty small world because it's all wrapped up in me. I mean, you saying that about yourself. You know, you have friends. You have coworkers. You have enemies. You have strangers. Did you know you ought to be kind to your enemy? You know, you ought to be kind to strangers. Some of you are kinder to people you don't know than you are to the people you live in your own house with. That ought to be wrong. You ought to be kinder to the people with whom you live than people you don't know.
Moving on. You don't need to agree with someone in every aspect of life to be kind or comforting to them. I don't need to spend a lot of time with them.
I don't spend time with people like that. If they call me and they want my advice, I'll give it. They may not even like my advice, Brother Stoltz. That's okay. But I'm not going to go to breakfast with the person. I'm not going to call them every week. Find out the progress. I won't check on it one time. If they want me to know, they'll let me know. If not, I got plenty to keep me busy right here. I don't worry about it.
I don't follow them on social media. Some of you follow people on social media that you ought to delete, unfriend, whatever. Boy, that's good stuff. Number three, and I'm done. This one will go a little faster. We Christians need to quit being so selfish. We should not decide how to behave based on how others treat us.
Brother Stoltz, come on up here. This is a good man.
Yes.
Now, wait a minute. I shouldn't decide to be kind to him because he's been kind to me. If Brother Stoltz has a bad day, doesn't mean that I'm going to send him back to the booger man and say, oh, he's a bad guy because of how he treated me. Let's pretend Brother Stoltz is my enemy. He's not. But I have people that have been out to try to hurt us, hurt this church, hurt me, tried to destroy me, that hate my internal life. As a matter of fact, they'd be pleased if I did step off the world. But do you know something? Just because they treat me that way doesn't mean they're all bad. That person has a husband or a wife. That person has family and children that love them. That person has people around them that love him. Just because he does not love me does not mean I should treat him in a hateful way. Because there are people that love him.
Right.
Hard to believe if I face that ugly. Wait a minute. I don't base how I treat someone by how they treat me. Everybody doing okay? Have a seat there.
We shouldn't decide how to behave based on how somebody treats us. Just because your coworkers aren't saved and they treat you like other lost people treat doesn't mean that they're bad people.
Right.
They're lost and on their way to hell. Maybe you need to work at getting them saved. Maybe if you'd live right, they would. We shouldn't base how we speak by how we feel. Let me say that again. We shouldn't speak based by how we feel. Everybody has days they don't feel well.
Right.
There are some people I quit asking, how you doing?
Right.
Say why? Because you're going to hear for about 20 minutes how bad everything is. You're going to know every ache, pain, and things you shouldn't even know about.
There's a lady that about once a week is here at the building. I don't even know where she goes in and out of the building, but it seems about like once a week or so, I catch this lady as I'm going to or from somewhere. And she happens to be a black lady. Doesn't mean anything else by it, but she'll say, well, hello there, how are you today? And I said, my favorite answer is, I am doing fantastic. All right now. One day she asked me, and I said, ma'am, if I was any better, I would be twins and the world would hate both of me. She said, come on now.
We were having a good time in the hallway. She had another lady with her, and the lady's going, like this? That lady, I promise you, that little black lady, she said, what you scowling for? He's got the good attitude, not you. I thought, man, I better get out of here fast. I don't know who she is. It doesn't matter. I can call somebody, and somebody will say, well, how are you today? Man, I'll tell them how I am. Man, I am doing fantastic. I'm doing great. If I was any better, I'd be in a tree stand. I had a church secretary call me last week. And they said, well, Brother Bush, how are you? I said, if I was any better, I'd be in a tree stand shooting something. This lady just starts laughing. She said, okay, in all my years, I never had that response before. I said, I can't help it. Call here again. I'll give you a different one. I just believe in having a good time. You say, well, preacher, did you really feel that good? Fake it till you make it. I'm not going to hell. My sins are forgiven. My body may hurt, but guess what? I'm still doing pretty good.
Amen.
We should want to speak good words to everyone, no matter how we feel, whether they agree with us or not.
I'll promise you. Mrs. Barnes knows this because she's gone into the bank a few times. You walk into the Jefferson Security Bank over here. Follow me into there. Those girls love me over there. I walk through the door, and it's great. You can feel the atmosphere change in there, Brother Mike. I walked up to the window last week, and the lady that was there at the window, she said, "Obviously, you're having a good day." I said, "Obviously, you're not." She looked at me. I said, "Well, you started it, not me." By the time I got done, she was laughing so hard, and every person in the bank just about was standing around us. And then she had the audacity. She said, "What time did you go to the office this morning?" I said, "Before you got out of bed." One of the girls went, "Ooh." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I was at the office before 6 this morning." She said, "You're right. That was before I got out of bed." And she said this to me. She said, "Pastor Bush, do you ever have a bad day?" I said, "I have bad things happen every day. But I don't let it be a bad day." She said, "I haven't figured that out yet." I reached in my pocket. I handed her a track and said, "Come see me at church sometime. You'll find out how that works."
Amen.
I just did it that simply and that easily. Now, wait a minute. I get bad news every day of my life. I'm not kidding. I get bad news virtually every day of my life. Just because I get bad news doesn't mean it's a bad day. We shouldn't say things based on how we feel. We got to say things because it's good, because it's comforting, because it's the right thing to say at the right time, the right way.
That's good.
When we get irritated, we shouldn't say it because we're irritated. Ouch. When we're having a good day and somebody else is not having a good day, sometimes you got to kind of meet in the middle. You know, there are some people that can't handle you having just such a good day all the time. I love it. I love annoying people being kind. I do. I think it's great. God says it's called heaping coals of fire on their head. A couple weeks ago, one of my enemies was at a place where I was at, Brother Mike. They were ahead of me at the drive-thru. They were like 2 cars ahead of me. They were just getting ready to go to the window when I put my order in. I said, stop. I said, "The car coming to the window right now. Don't let them pay. I'm going to pay for it. And don't tell them. Just say somebody paid for it already." I said, "I know who it is. Doesn't matter. Just say somebody wants them to have a good day." It's somebody that smeared my name like you wouldn't believe. I got to the window. I paid for mine. I paid for theirs. And they said, "That was a very kind thing. That must be one of your friends." I said, "I just wanted somebody to have a good day." I didn't say anything more than that. That person didn't need to know. Can I tell you something? I had a good day. I did. I had a real good day. I'm not sure my enemy did. Doesn't matter. I did what I was supposed to do. Probably, if they would have found out who paid for it, they'd throw it up. But it doesn't matter. I don't have to live that way. If they choose to, that's their... Now, I'm not going to chase them down, and I'm not going to I wasn't going to get out of my truck and run up there and say, "Hello, here I am. I'm going to buy your meal for you." That's only going to cause conflict. Just because that's the way it was, you don't have to be making it known. I didn't tell them how I thought of them. It's a good thing. But I did what I did right. Brought some comfort. Let's speak good words. Let's speak comfortable words.
Let's not be so selfish to live a life for ourselves and only benefit ourselves. Isn't it amazing how selfish we humans are? We look at life only through our eyeballs. Now, if you're sitting there saying, yeah, I want this person to think that way, I want that, you're who I'm talking to, because you're so selfish, you want everybody to treat you the right way. No, I'm talking to you. How about you treat everybody the right way?
Right.
That's what God wants. Every